Dear congregation, last night we received the email that is sent out by the Alsouts periodically about Mrs. Alsout's health and her struggles in regard to cancer and treatment she's receiving. And she mentioned her fears about some of the tests that were going to take place this past week, and yet after all the tests had taken place, her fears were put to shame, and she was reminding everyone that so often we are looking at the wrong things. We need to be looking to the Lord. And then she went on to tell a short little story of something that had happened in her own family many years ago, actually, in the Netherlands. It was a little boy, and he had come to fear and to know the Lord from very young. And sometimes he would come in from outside, been playing with the other children in the neighborhood, and he would come inside, and his mother would ask him, "Why are you coming inside?" And he would simply say, they're using God's name in vain, and it hurts me in my heart, and I can't play outside when I hear that." And so he would come and play in his home. Later, as he grew older, he was often found in the attic of their home. And what he had done is he would find these parts of the Bible just laying around, and he would try to glue them back together and paste them together to put together a whole Bible again. And he was asked why he did this, and it was because he had such a respect. He could not see the Word of God so lightly handled and misused, and he wanted to see it set forth in all its truth. Sadly, one day he was badly burned with a pan from off of the stove. And in those days there was little that could be done for these burns. And he was laying in bed, great pain. Children have the same kind of pain medications they have today to help with this severe pain. Of course, the doctor would come and do his best. And his sister saw all of this, and one day he was lying in bed and she was in the kitchen with her mother. And she said, "Mom, I just can't stand to see my little brother suffer so much pain." From the bedroom came the soft little reply from her brother, "If you would know how much my Lord Jesus has suffered, this is oh so little in comparison to what He has suffered for me." He had come to know the great physician of his soul. Though the outward doctors could do nothing for him, he eventually died to be with Jesus not so long after. They couldn't do anything. But the great physician of his soul had healed him and made him whole on the inside. And though his body would decay and is no doubt but particles of dust today, he is before his Lord rejoicing in the great physician. And it's this physician we want to consider this morning from the chapter we have read in Luke 5. Now I'll read verses 31 and 32 again. "Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Our theme is the doctor is in. There's nothing more frustrating than to go to an emergency room or to a doctor and he's out. And in the past there would be signs, "The doctor is in," and you had some hope that maybe he would be able to provide a remedy. Well, what kind of patients, first of all, does this doctor deal with? And secondly, we're going to look at the physician himself. The doctor is in, the patient and the physician. What's happening in this history, dear congregation, is important to understand why Jesus makes this statement. You, no doubt, if you read this history, will realize that Jesus had just performed several miracles. He had performed healings. He had performed what outward doctors couldn't do. But he had also done something for Matthew, who was a publican, as the great physician of souls. No doubt he had worked in the other, the lame man who was let down by his friends, and the leper. He had likely worked also this spiritual work in their hearts. But it was in particular Matthew, who though on the outward side of things, he was sitting at the receipt of custom, just doing his business, he was healthy and strong. But inwardly, in his heart, he was corrupt, putrefying sores. He had one interest in mind, this man Matthew, as being a publican, and that was to have more money. This was his life. This is why he got into the business, no doubt. Collecting taxes. You could scoop off the top what you could put in your own pocket and give the rest to the government, what they required. And of course, this Jew had joined himself to this group and clan of thieves, in essence, was despised by the other Jews. Could you imagine if one of us would get a job with, in the United States it's the IRS, I don't know what it's in Canada, but they come to collect revenue and they gouge you beyond what you really should pay, but you know you have to pay it. I wonder how we would think of that person as you'd sit in the pews with them. That's the kind of context we're talking about here. And this man, Matthew, this publican, had been called of Jesus as he was sitting there. Follow me. And he rose up and he followed Jesus. He must have heard something in Jesus. He must have seen something in this man who touched the depth of his heart to see the corruption, the sin of his present behavior and life. He was brought to repentance and now in total gratitude to God. He had seen his great sinfulness. He had seen that in Jesus there was a remedy for that sin. And now he looks around him at his former companions, his friends, and he calls them to come together to his house for a feast. Well, we might say a party. But the guest of honor was our Lord Jesus Christ. And it wasn't so Jesus could come and have a good time with his former friends. That wasn't the point. The point was that Matthew had found in this one, Jesus, everything. This was the one who reunited him to his Maker, God. This was the one who had forgiven those corruptions, those things he was plagued with in his heart. His guilt had made him clean on the inside. And in gratitude to this one, and in desire now for his fellow man, he brings them all together that they might hear this same message from Jesus. That they could be cleansed, that they could be changed and transformed as well. And so, Jesus is at this large gathering, this feast. And the scribes and Pharisees, who despise these people as sinners, saw it. And so when Jesus is perhaps coming out of the feast even, and he's walking with his disciples, the scribes and Pharisees begin murmuring. They're uttering under their breath, so to speak. Their heart is coming out. And in essence, what they're saying, no doubt, is to these disciples,
Do you realize who you're following, this man, this rabbi, so-called?
Is he really who he claims to be? How, if he claims to be the Son of God, how is it he can sit with these dirty, polluted people? No doubt these scribes and Pharisees were trying to get these disciples to question their following of Jesus. Jesus, they're saying in essence, he's not to be trusted. He hangs around with these publicans and sinners. But what they didn't realize is that in this very word of rebuke that they're giving to the disciples, that Jesus takes their words from their very mouth and turns them into something glorious. Isn't this the characteristic of our God? As He takes difficult and almost seemingly impossible situations and providences, allowing them to travel to a certain point, and then, like Joseph in the pit, he's taken out and he's transferred to Egypt and he comes to be second in command. So in this passage, what Jesus is doing is taking the very words of these sinful men, scribes and Pharisees, and turns it on its head. How does he do that? Well, in two things he's saying. In these words, Jesus is taking the words of these scribes and Pharisees meant to be degrading, and he turns it into a hopeful message for sinners. And Jesus is saying, yeah, are they sinners? Are these publicans and sinners sinners? Absolutely. They don't deny it. But you, scribes and Pharisees, you don't see it. But you're sinners too. These have a need of a physician. You are claiming you don't. You know, these Pharisees were very good at pointing out sin. We see that in the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. I'm not like that man over there in the back of the temple, that publican. And Jesus is saying is, you know, that man in the back of the publican, he is a sinner indeed. They need a physician and they realize it. And the second point then that Jesus makes is, that's why I'm here. That's why I'm come. The fact that there are sinners and they come to know it and they need a remedy is why I'm here. The doctor is in. He is the great physician of souls, the great doctor who probes to the depth of our hearts, and He sees our corruption and putrefying sores, and He calls us to Himself. He finds us where we are. He brings us to repentance. He comes to the despised, the downcast, the polluted, and He calls them to repentance. And so we want to consider in these two points that very thing. Who are these patients? What kind of patients are there that come to this physician? And who are some of the others who ought to be his patients but aren't? We know in our minds, perhaps, what Jesus' point is here as He looks at these group of Pharisees and scribes. They had it all together when it concerned their religion in comparison to those in the world. They were children who had a lineage connected to God. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that lineage, they supposed, simply continued on through the generations, through their blood. And they had learned through the intertestament period, especially when they were in exile, they and their fathers had learned there is one God, and we're to serve Him alone. They had learned that from their childhood. And that's what they were doing, they supposed.
And all the outward things that had been built up over the years until the day of Jesus, all these regulations and traditions and rules, they kept perfectly.
What does that look like today in the lives of some? Well, there are those who have no need of the physician as these scribes and Pharisees.
And the first category I want to set before you is a group of people who claim the title of Christian. They claim to have heard the good news of Jesus. They've been told Jesus loves you. And all you need to do is believe this word that comes and receive Jesus into your hearts, and you are saved. You are cleansed. You've met the great physician and he makes you whole. So have you ever lied in your life? You told lies? Have you ever stolen something you shouldn't have? And yes. Well, you know, that means you're a sinner. And Jesus came to die for sinners. And if you pray, Lord, forgive my sins and I accept your offered remedy, you pray this prayer, you're saved. You're a Christian. Many have prayed that prayer. Many have supposed to have gone to some physician or sort and thought to have been healed. They've never truly been humbled for their sin. They've never truly fled to Jesus Christ in all their poverty and need and laid hold upon Him, and their lives have been changed through repentance and faith. And you can see the distinct difference between those who are the physician's patients and those who aren't. And so when you try to talk to such an individual who's convinced in their own mind that they've seen the doctor and he's given them the healing ointment, but they're still filled with disease, that they need to see the doctor again, it's like talking to these scribes and Pharisees about their need for repentance. Because back then, in such and such a date, they signed the card, they wrote their name, they prayed the prayer. It's fine, it's good. But all Jesus was the supervising doctor who looked at them as they healed themselves and said, "Good, all is well. Go in peace." But they never truly need it. And have come to know the healing power that flows from Christ. Jesus came to save those who are sick. And Jesus doesn't leave them in their sin, in their sickness. And if you claim the title Christian and you're still living in your sickness, be careful to say you've come to the doctor. If we've come to the doctor and he's made us whole, doesn't mean we're never affected by the disease that once was destroying us. But it means we have been made alive and we are being changed into the likeness of the doctor. While that may be one of the kind of patients we meet today, I think there's another kind of patience perhaps that gets to the heart of what is more common perhaps among us. And certainly this is a patient who feels to some degree or other his sickness. He's made appointments with the doctor. Now, as I'm talking about this, children, you have to keep in mind, too, that we're not, though I'm making a comparison like Jesus does to a doctor you go visit to be healed of some disease, what we're really talking about is a spiritual problem, our corruption, our sin that's destroying us from the inside. There's some who've gone to this doctor, the one they have heard, Jesus, because they've been convicted.
They come to times when they feel so overwhelmed with their guilt. They've prayed and they felt some kind of peace come over them and the convictions go away. They've canceled any follow-up visit. Until it gets to the point where they feel so sick again, they do the same thing. This process just kind of repeats. But it seems like they only ever get to see the assistant. They never get to the doctor himself. There are those who, I remember in South Africa, there was a man we were working with, and he had a very bad cold. He needed antibiotic. And the Miskins who were working at the clinic, at the AIDS clinic in Nekakela, they could give it to him at a moment's notice. I was trying to convince him several days. I'll just drive you to the clinic. And they can give you what you need. No, 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 no. I talked to the Miskins about it. They said he doesn't want to come because if he goes and he's seen driving in the vehicle to the clinic, the whole community is going to think he's got AIDS. And so he refrained. Finally, I convinced him to go. And he went. He recovered. He was thankful. But how many of you? You hear of the great physician of souls who cleanses and pardons from sin, and you're looking at everybody else, what they would say. If you confessed your need of Him and you went to Him. There's others, too, who perhaps have heard something of the voice of this doctor that he's calling out. The doctor's in. They've heard what he's prescribed to other people. Read your Bible. Search for me. Pray. Do the right things to use the means in coming to church. You're doing this and you're doing that. And when you look at your life, you think, I'm not so sick after all. I'm actually doing a lot better than, well, you know, that other person in church, he only comes once in a while. And then, you know, this other person, you look at what they're doing. I heard this and I'm not so bad. You really don't need the doctor. You're really not sick enough to go. And then, when you hear somebody else, that really sick person, going to the doctor, you hear he's met the doctor and he gave the remedy and the person is confessing to other people, I went to the doctor and he's done this for me. But you should see, it doesn't seem like much change took place. And because of that, you yourself stay away from the doctor. There are many of you, some of you perhaps I should say, who've not yet been to the doctor. And you might even say, I know I need this physician, this doctor, but I don't feel my need of him like I think I should feel before I go. And so you're consulting your feelings rather than the word of the physician. Be like going to the doctor and he has done a bunch of tests and you're sitting down with him and he's looking over your tests and he's like, it's not good news. The tumor in your stomach. And you're going, but I feel great. What are you going to consult? Your feelings? Or what he says? And if I look, if you look at this word of the great physician, the doctor himself, what's he saying about you? About me? Outside of Christ? He's saying your heart is stone. He's saying you've got blinders on your eyes. You've got your fingers in your ears. You've got putrefying sores from the top of your head to the sole of your foot. And you don't even see it. You don't feel it, perhaps. Oh, maybe here and there you feel a stomach pain, but you're too busy with everything else in life to pause and listen to what the doctor really is saying. You see, if you went to that same doctor and he said to you, yeah, there's a little growth in your stomach, but I don't think it's anything. I think we'd be right to be alarmed. This physician, he's gentle and he's kind, but he's true. He tells you just the way it is. Because he realizes when you don't come to him to be made whole, you're going to die from this sickness. And then it's too late. Then, though the doctor's in, the remedy is too late. So we need to consider, what is God? What is the doctor, the physician of souls, saying to us? Does it really matter that you're not as sick as other people who are out in the world today? The problem really is that you and I don't realize just how sick we really are and in need of this great physician to be healed. There are others who turn to, well, I suppose we'll call it what it is, a quack physician. He's got the title of a doctor, but his treatments, his track record shows there's really not any healing that he can do. How many times do we go to such doctors? Even with spiritual things? We turn to people who give us the answer that we want to hear, who give us counsel that leads us down the path we're already traveling, instead of bringing us to the Word of God and saying, this really is what the problem is. Here is what needs to be addressed. And we turn to some self-help book or maybe even some text that kind of gives us a little comfort to go on in our way. And we hear counsel that is contrary to this word, the word of the doctor. And the very trials and the very difficulties that have come upon us and in our life, the guilt in our own conscience, the way we've been created, is stifled and put down so that the very purpose for which God gives some of these things to draw us to Himself is blunted. And we're kept away. I suppose there are others who, when they come to realize the extent of their diseases, just say, there's no doctor in the world that can heal me. I'm so close to death, there's really no possibility. And there could be those here today too, who, when seeing their sin, who see what they've done, who are so convinced and overwhelmed with near despair, this doctor really can't help me. And they're looking to their feelings again, and not the word of the physician. And what this word Jesus is saying to us, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And I, the great physician, didn't come to call the righteous, but these very ones to repentance. When I read Isaiah, that first chapter, here is God, the great physician, coming to His people who were to be walking in His way, separate from all the nations. And He says, you don't even know your master script. I set you apart. I cared for you. I did all this for you. And all you've done is done some outward religious sacrifice and all this outward performance of duty. But in your hearts, there's corruption and sin. There's no soundness in it. The whole head is sick and the heart faint. It's not been bound up. It's neither mollified with ointment. On Facebook a few days ago, there was this baby who was born. Rare disease in anything that would touch its body. Huge blisters. Skin just reacted to everything. And it was filled with these putrefying sores. That baby needs a doctor. But that's our picture. What the Scripture is telling us is our hearts, is our life. Your sin, your thought life, your desires, your actions, your words, they're like that when you're outside of Christ in the sight of the great physician, but it's massive, putrefying sores. And even though you've put on an outward garment of religiosity, underneath is sickness, death. As sickness is much like the cancer cells we see today. They say that each one of us has these cells within our bodies, roaming around, finding opportunity, begins to turn into tumors and begins to affect us with no hope of recovery. And that's the picture of sin. Sin is roaming, is flowing through our spiritual veins, and we're taken in by sin, and eventually, the Scriptures tell us, sin is going to destroy us, kill us. It holds us captive. And the lie from the very beginning is somehow that sin is attractive, it's pleasurable, it's satisfying, it will give you life. It's the lie. It's the feeling. It's not the doctor's word. Imagine for a moment if you went to the doctor and you were just totally down and out, just totally depressed. No reason to live. You go to see him and he's got a syringe laying on his counter. It's half full of fluid. He says, there's a drug in there that will make you truly happy. You won't feel this way again. But I need to tell you that I just gave that to the last patient I had. And he was feeling the same way, but he had AIDS. You know that disease is transferred through blood. How many of you would agree to receive that drug? And yet, how many are really living this way? We're injected by this world and by temptation with the idea, you do this, you look at that, you have this, and you're going to have pleasure. You're going to have satisfaction. But it comes with a price. It comes with a sting. The fact is that God's Word is the only thing that is true and real because it comes from the mouth of the doctor himself. And so the doctor is trying to say to us this morning, this is your need, you need me. The doctor is in, you're sick, you're dying, you're filled with putrefying sores. And these scribes and Pharisees imagined, with all their activity and religious doing, that they were better than others. And this was a sickness that was as great or greater than the sickness of these sinners and publicans. Just pause a moment, friends, and think. If what I'm saying, if what the doctor says is true, and you've never gone to him for healing, you are in trouble. Your greatest need is healing, to be cured of this disease which rages through your body. Matthew had no doubt caught a glimpse of something of this as Jesus came and said, "Matthew, follow me." And Matthew rose up from his receipt of custom. He followed Christ. He came to understand better than he had ever known before what he was. He was a sinner. He was diseased in his soul. And all of his desires have now changed before this man who is just a person who is raising up discord in Israel is now the one he has heard as the great physician. And so when Matthew records this event, it's as if Matthew, in having heard the words of Jesus, remembers something else that Luke and I think Mark doesn't record it either, but he says to the Pharisees, Jesus says, "You go and learn what this means." In other words, go back to the word you have, to the prophet Hosea, where he says, "I will have mercy and not sacrifice." God wants us to show forth, that's what we were created to do, His likeness. His likeness is not some perfunctory, just duty to do. He didn't just create this world because he had time on his hands to do something. He created this whole realm and this cosmos and man after his image in it to know him, to reflect him, to experience his mercy, his kindness, his love, and his grace. And when Jesus saw these publicans and sinners, he said, "That's who I came for." And the scribes and Pharisees, he's saying, "You don't understand. You don't know your need. You are not sick. And if you would understand your need to confess your sickness, you too would come to the place where you needed the physician." Matthew understood what Jesus was saying. It's not what comes out of a man that defiles him. It's what's in his heart. This is what's disease. This is what produces this corruption we see on the outside. And by nature, we don't see this. The God of this world, Paul says, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe that they would see the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of the living God. So if you don't see Jesus, if you haven't come to the doctor, if you're not living in obedience to His voice, your eyes are blind. And the disease you cannot see that is rotting you to the core of your being. The doctor is in. When we think of our children, perhaps as parents we've experienced it, and I'm sure other parents here too have experienced the same. And children, when your parents take you to the doctor, especially when you're 5, 6, 7 years old, you don't realize often how serious it might really be. But your parents are alarmed. They try to keep that alarm from you. But they take you to the doctor, perhaps in the middle of the night, because they're caring for your life. parents. If this is the picture of our souls, of our children, have we taken them to the physician of souls? With such burden, with such anxiety, with such anticipation, as those who took their children to Jesus and He took them on His lap and blessed them. Do you realize you're sick? Are you that kind of patient? Well, then I want to speak to you of the physician of souls. But first, let's sing 187. 187. That was the patient. Who's the physician? I've already began. You can't hardly begin to talk about the patient unless you've done it in light of the physician. But we need to know more about Him. Who is this physician who's speaking in our text? They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came. He's saying, I am this physician. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, there may be some doctors in this world that you have heard about, and to go to them is almost as painful as getting treated. Their bedside manners, their way of dealing with you as a person is just almost repulsive. They're good doctors, perhaps, but when we think of this physician, He is most sympathetic, compassionate, kind, gentle, true. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet He was without sin. He's able to help those with their diseases, because all the diseases we could bring to Him of our sin, every manner of sin, He's confronted and defeated. He has taken on Himself all the effects of our disease, even to death itself. And there is absolutely no patient who comes to this physician and who tells Him everything. Pained here, I have this oozing wound there, and I'm ready to die. And He knows it already. And He, the great physician, full of tender mercy and kindness, whoever you are, whatever you have done, whatever your disease and putrefying sores look like, you will not be surprised in this sense when you go to Him. Oh, you'll be surprised that He would take you as a patient? Yes. You'll be surprised that He has healing that is so full-orbed it can include any disease. But you need not be surprised that He can heal you, and He's ready to heal you. Because He tells you He's ready. I will not have mercy. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. If we draw near to this physician, not even able to go, we're so sick. And we cry to Him as Bartimaeus from the wayside, and keep crying until the physician hears. He comes. He's not a doctor who sits in his fifth story large hospital room, office somewhere waiting for sick people to come. Only certain office hours you can meet with Him. This physician has come from glory. And He came to this earth, became as one of us. And He makes house calls. He goes and he finds someone like Matthew who's sitting in his sin, and he says, "Come, follow me." He sees one let down at his feet by friends who cannot walk, whose sins weigh him down. "My son, your sins be forgiven you." There is not one patient this doctor turns away. "I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Not healthy, but the sick." And this doctor goes about through the neighborhoods and the towns and the benches, and he finds the one who's sick. And he has no limit of the number of patients he can have. He knows all the different kinds of diseases we are affected by. This lust for that, that desire for this, this corruption, this word, this anger, this, that, everything of these sores and death. He knows the cure. This doctor hasn't had to send you off to another specialist. He is the specialist. And he's ready. The doctor's in. "Whosoever comes to him, he will in no wise cast out. As I live," says the doctor, "I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I have no pleasure that this disease that is consuming and destroying you will bring you to hell. But you would turn to me and live. Turn, turn. Why will you die? Aren't you weary of this disease? Aren't you weary of these sores as you wake up in the morning and you look yourself in the eye in the mirror and that's what you see if you're honest? And this physician calls you, turn. Repent. Turn to the physician of souls. Believe his word, the gospel, that whoever comes to him, he is ready and willing to heal, to forgive, to make alive." He's better than Canada Healthcare. You paid your taxes to get it. You don't have to pay anything with him. It's free. And Christ understood that mingling with these publicans were great sinners, the scribes and Pharisees. And they didn't even see it. And Jesus, in reaching out to these publicans and sinners, is not saying, "But you, scribes and Pharisees..." No, they were excluding themselves. They didn't need him. They didn't come to him. They wanted to kill him. That was their disease. And they didn't see it. "I am come," Jesus says, "for the sick. Not for the righteous, but sinners." Are you a sinner? He says, "Come." Are you one who senses something of this sore and death that is within you, your sin? Well, flee to this one. "I will set them free," he says. "I will heal their backsliding. I will pardon graciously their sin." Jesus comes among, and this feast that Matthew has prepared, he comes not as a companion to join in their revelry of this world's goods and pleasures, but he's come to give them health, to give them life. And these scribes and Pharisees have judged themselves unworthy of eternal life. They didn't see their sin. They didn't see the physician. the gospel comes to sinners. He didn't come to those who we think would fit the mold, but those who blew it, who made all kinds of mistakes. He comes to set you free. He comes to give you pardon. He comes to give you life. Dear friends, Jesus comes to save what we consider the unlikely. And the Pharisee and the scribes stand afar from Jesus and what He's doing, and they think, oh, that's some other kind of religion. Because they don't see themselves. Are you sick in need of this glorious physician who is able to cleanse to the deepest and innermost part of your being? He calls you this morning to come to Him just as you are. He has turned none away. And this message then is for those who are down and out, those who think perhaps they're past the point even of healing. He brings you the message, this physician. He probes to the depth and he says, turn. Repent. Trust my word. I am come, not for righteous, but for sinners just like you. To lead you to repent of all that you are doing, to all that you are thinking about me, to believe and rest and trust in what the doctor says. Do you feel yourself to be a sinner in need of the physician? You can be thankful, but you can't rest there. Because you haven't come to the physician and you've been made whole by believing His word, by Him administering His medicine, so to speak, to us, making us alive. We're still in our sin. The devil would want you to believe if you're convicted of your sin, you're past the point of healing. You're past the point that this physician can do anything for you. He leads you to despair, but Jesus calls us and says, I'm come just for such, to lead you to turn, to repent, and to receive me who can make you alive, who can make you whole by faith. Don't we meet with this very heart of the physician in that parable of the prodigal son? There you see that son, he's went off, wasted his living riotously in sin, and he comes to himself. And he goes back home. If I could but be a servant, that's all he's looking for. Because he knows something of the heart of his father, and when he comes, his father sees him and embraces him, kisses him, makes him whole, gives him a garment, a ring, shoes on his feet, the fatted calf. Didn't do anything to get it. It was his father's love. And the elder brother is sitting out on the front step, angry. The putrefying sore is growing, ready to break, and he doesn't see it. And the father comes out, my son, you've always been with me, and you haven't seen that I can heal your heart. Some of you, hearing the gospel, seeing sinners come to repentance, to the physician, like the elder brother sitting, your sore is growing, the pus is oozing, and you don't see it. It's detestable in the eyes of God because you think you can do without the physician. And Jesus comes and he probes that wound. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He comes and he removes even the very root of sin. He cleanses completely and whole and thoroughly. Oh, they still have the vestiges of sin as they walk through this life. They still have effects from their flesh. But the physician has made them whole. They are complete in Jesus Christ. They will one day stand before Him and be like Him because they will see Him as He is. His cure is complete and full. It's not like He takes a 21-day approach at antibiotic. When He speaks pardon to the soul, we are cleansed, we are forgiven, we stand before God clean. Every whit. And the danger is we so often go back again and think we somehow have become so unclean we are no longer cleansed. Oh, we need to flee to the doctor again and again for His remedies, for His pardon. But we can never lose life that He has given. Many years ago, I remember near our hometown, there was a plane crash. And I remember reading about it some years later. The plane had missed the runway because it had lost power and was flying actually further than that, but it missed the runway, landed in a cornfield, and the people were scattered. And the doctors came rushing to the scene, and the doctors literally would go by various people who had perhaps legs twisted and broken and mangled, crying out in pain, "Doctor!" And they would find those who were most severely injured and minister to them because of the pressing need. If your sin, if your need of Christ is so pressing and great, He is not going to pass you by. And like Bartimaeus, and you cry, "Son of David, have mercy," till they told him to be quiet. Jesus will come, the great physician, and heal your soul. Your sins be forgiven you. Amen.